How the fuck is everyone doing? It's Waddle and Sylvie, Carmen and Yurko. This is unfucking censored
again.
Crosstalk. I know I don't want to swear
I'm
just setting the table.
It's so unnatural for you.
Yeah, Yurko, the reviews were really good for the first round of Crosstalk, and now we all have microphones that we can work with.
I still don't think
with.
Mine works really well. That's okay. That's
I heard they
right.
want more.
Like, it's fine. I mean, I'll show up late next time.
It is a little fucked up over there still.
Well, I don't have earphones on.
The gratuitous swearing is a bit over the top to start this second
This
edition.
One was a little...
It feels a little planned.
Felt artificial.
Yurko sounds good, though.
Felt artificial. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Should we start there, though, guys? Because like when I read the article that it's 20 years of the Afternoon Saloon, and it was my dirt for good, bad, and dirty. I think we need to toast to the good kid.
20 years.
I won't lie to you guys.
And here's some stories.
The absence of gifts and or money, I've been shocked by. Honest to have.
I just think the manly waft of us being in the room
that
with you should
do it
serve
for me
as
at
a,
all.
A gift
I mean,
for
I was
you.
Hoping for a dozen fucking balls, you know.
Wait, two aren't enough for you?
No,
I mean, at this point, you're 52
balls.
Years, really? 53 years old.
Really?
Do you need more than
Make
that?
Make yourself useful over there.
And do what?
I'll tell you what?
And do what? What are you going to do?
20 years, a long time.
Yeah,
and Yurk and
good
I
times.
Have been doing a show together now for 12.
12 years.
Even a little bit before that, I used to fill in a lot for Mac and I
do
with Yurko.
Did you guys ever have a really big fight?
Yes, we witnessed it.
Maybe two.
Me and Carmen?
Oh, yeah, he walked out, didn't he? Didn't the kid walk
one
out?
One time. I think we've had like two blow-ups.
Me and Carmen fought?
Yeah, I think there's been two.
It was like during crosstalk, like, and again, like it happened in the last 3 minutes for your show when you guys
That's
were
right.
going into a weekend, and I think someone may have been going on vacation,
no,
too.
I was
going
to get physically violent, and I had to walk out of the room so I wouldn't get physically violent.
I honestly think I can remember two blow-ups that Yurk and I had with one another. That's it.
Yeah.
It's two in. We've worked together for
but
20 years.
In 20 minutes, it's over.
Show.
You know, 20 minutes, it's over.
Yeah.
See a blow-up, at he could be mad at me, and I'm like, all right.
I'm trying to remember what it was.
Maybe I was being a little bit of a jerk.
Johnny walked out.
I don't remember the
time.
Wasn't it like something innocuous, like just some random thing that Carmen going into the weekend then started escalating?
Carmen grabbed onto something. He wouldn't let it go.
Yeah, I will say
this. And I'm like, geez, what's he not letting it go for?
Angry Carm, agitated Carm is my favorite Carm. But like, don't you remember when we were talking about the Big Ten or something and you called me a douchebag?
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know why that escalated as quickly as it did.
Well, listen,
always had the reputation of the quick fuse, but then I was like,
I could tell.
What the fuck was that?
I could tell when it's happening because it's about 5-6 months since he had any. And, you know, you see the built-up testosterone. You see Carmen got
a
bad
month. He was still on the creatine shakes.
No, I'm talking about way back when.
We were talking about the fucking
could have been when she was knocked up. You know, she had one of the kids. She wasn't in the mood.
Maybe.
Carmen's got all this pent-up testosterone. You're not getting yourself enough, you know, where you got to release
that. It's not all that frequent, but it's certainly more than 5 or 6 months.
But he's not that same guy anymore.
No, he's mellowed. He's more mature.
You could still get it out of him. You could still.
Sometimes.
Like, I always, the whole bit is always, hey, Carm, your 401k has taken a dive. It's down to $8. COVID could be here forever. And Carm's like, all right, well, look, we just got to make do.
Yeah.
And then you bring up a BIP and that you don't like a BIP and that you just want to measure with the eye test. What the fuck? You don't want to use analytics?
Yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
That's a you thing. That's not a me thing. That's a you thing.
But my crazy thing is when your two options are like, 0.501 and 0.499, it really doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Statistically,
there's
doesn't
not
matter.
Enough disparity. And with a standard deviation being plus 1 or 2 points, it doesn't make a difference what you do at
there
that point.
Go.
It is in the gut, whatever it is.
Sylvie does have me pegged on that, though.
Oh,
that is kind of me. Like, I get
don't
worked
sweat
up
the
about
stuff.
The dumb stuff. And then the big things, I'm like, we'll get through it. You know, don't worry about it.
You know, we'll get through it together. Yeah. You know, we'll take it one day at a time.
I'm weird like that.
Carm, I borrowed your car. I drove it off the bridge.
Deep impact when everybody's fleeing. Right. Carmen's just over at the beach going, we might be able to withstand this wave.
Yeah. What? Well, if you knock, hitters being too undisciplined, I'll go outside.
Yeah.
Yurk, what's the most memorable moment of the 20 years? Like, we were talking about the horse race the other day.
Right.
And a jockey called in. Was it that?
That
was it, like, the fighting? Was it something bigger than what was it?
The horse race was one of the things. And then we never got a chance to publicize it. Really
never.
Go crazy.
That tape was burned, I believe.
Because, you know, threats of litigations and all types of stuff. hints of allegations.
Were you ahead of Harry or behind him
Harry
in the race?
Harry beat me in the race.
And, but, yeah. So you
but I was on
it.
The inside no, like didn't. John Wayne. Hey, I was on the inside like John Wayne. When we passed the finish line, Harry was in first.
Yes, he was.
But I could see Harry couldn't reach the
stirrups.
Yeah, right. He couldn't reach the stirrups, so he's trying to reach for a stirrup to have some control. I'm on my horse. I made the guy raise at three. I need three up here so I can feel the stirrups under my feet. That way you're in a little bit of a squat. You're bouncing up and down.
He looked like John fucking Wayne.
I did. I was on that horse.
So much confidence.
In the background, you heard, Chisholm, John Chisholm.
He literally came up like in this slow trot behind Harry, all proud.
Yes.
Going down goes Frazier. Yes.
He was
down
on the air.
Frazier.
We had that on the air.
Yes.
It was Waddle, me, and Gene Greco. Yeah. And I'll never forget, you know, like when you're watching a sporting event and you're kind of leaning and you're doing like your body language. I was like physically leaning on Gene Greco as I saw Harry tipping.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
stay up.
But I remember.
And then
being,
you're right. Yurko's back there screaming, down goes Frazier. Yeah. Harry's head's banking against one of the rails. And we're terrified that he's really seriously hurt, which
he was
hurt. Yeah.
I mean, well, when I passed him now, see, this is the reason I say, when I passed on him, when I passed him and I disembarked on my
your
the horse,
your
my
steed,
steed.
You got
off
your steed.
I heard noise coming from Harry, so I figured he was all right.
It
was on his back. He was like a beetle, and I heard, I heard those two noises, and I'm like, he's fine.
Okay. Why would you think
he's fine?
He just fell off
a thoroughbred
racehorse.
Well, if he was knocked out, he wouldn't have been saying a word.
When he came by the... So I'm standing right at the finish line. And, you know, Sylvie talked about, like, sort of grabbing Gene Greco and falling off with him. I mean, I watched Harry come flying by. He was going entirely too fast.
No
and
doubt.
I'll never forget, like, the same thing. He was kind of, like, 45-degree angle on the horse. And he was going, stop. He's trying to get the horse to stop.
By telling him to stop.
It was like, so much fun.
No helmets.
No helmet.
Was there a helmet? Thank God.
I say this to Waddle, that out of everything that we've accomplished at this radio station, 14 years as a show, our proudest moment and the most rewarding moment is when Justin Craig came in to ask us, do you guys want to ride thoroughbreds in a race? Waddle and I looked at him and goes, No.
What the fuck?
Me too.
What the fuck are you? What are you asking
us to
do?
I said yes.
I know. Yes, you did.
Damn right, I do.
And I believe
Johnny Risk Taker.
I believe they asked Mark Gene Greco too.
Yes,
and they asked me.
He didn't want his hair to get messed up.
I said no fucking chance.
No chance.
No way.
And the only two idiots that said yes, me and Tynowitz.
Yeah. It was. I do say this with you know, laughter in my voice, but like. At least before tragedy ensued, it was hilarious to watch. It really was.
It's hilarious when he fell off in the paddock. We knew.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's right. That happened beforehand. Yeah. Tell people about that. So
he went up on once. You know, he went to mount the horse.
Yeah.
He went to get on, and as he swung his leg over, he fell off the other side. Right. I mean, he completely fell off the horse.
That's a foreshadowing of what was about to come.
Yeah. Amazing. So happy anniversary,
yes,
good kid.
Thank you.
We don't have gifts, but
when we had the Snoop Dogg interview, I thought that was great. Mike Tyson coming in, I thought that was great. When we sat down and we were talking to Oscar Robertson, because Robertson had just written a book, he was in our studios and Norm Van Leer walked in.
Yeah.
And then it was Norm and Oscar talking to each other for 20 minutes.
That's awesome.
And you're just like a fly on the wall.
Just letting them do their thing.
Shut up and let these two guys commiserate. Yeah. And that's what we did. So there are a lot of great interviews, a lot of great stuff. When we went to London, I thought that was fantastic. You know,
Ireland, too? Didn't you guys go to Ireland?
We went to Ireland. We ended up in England, in London. We're hoping to go back again when the Bears ended up playing out there, but that wasn't to be. No, there was a lot of fun stuff. You know?
We've been
to some Pro Bowls early on when we were trying to establish, you know, ESPN 1000 is a local radio station. We ended up going to the Pro Bowl a couple times. And, hey, all fun stuff. Now, when we used to go to Super Bowls, that was the greatest thing in the world. You know, your sports station in the United States, in Chicago, you should be at the Super Bowl. Somebody should be. Not everybody.
Right. By the way, if you go through the media stations, everyone knows Johnny the Good Kid.
Everybody. Oh, of course they do.
Everybody knows him. Well, everybody.
And a lot of those guys are doing sports media were guys I play with. I saw Wally Williams down there, the center for the Ravens. Jonathan Ogden was down there. Yeah, even the big luminaries like Elway.
Yeah.
You know, because I was familiar with Elway while playing and also in the Arena Football League, Well, I'd see him at Radio Row. I'd say, John, how are you? Good to see you. Hey, Yurko, blah, blah, blah.
Kurt Warner.
Hey, can you come on?
Everybody.
The only guy that honestly has been a douchebag in this whole time is Troy Aikman.
Really?
Yes.
What happened?
For the Oakland Super Bowl in San Diego.
Okay.
And I tried to get him on to come on the next day.
Oakland,
I mean,
Tampa. Christ, that's when Gruden won it.
You beat me 7 fucking times, dude.
Yeah.
You know, you beat the Packers 7 fucking times.
Troy and I came out the same year in the draft.
Not for nothing, champ. I go, but how about joining us? And he's like, he's looking for every excuse to know. Troy, say no. That way I don't even have to pretend like you might come on. Just say no. He was trying to find out. I go, all right, not a problem. And I moved on. The only time I was ever really disappointed. Gruden, I called. And Gruden called me back right away.
John was with you
John,
in Green Bay.
In Green Bay, yes.
Yeah. Johnny was with John.
Right. There's sometimes that I'm frustrated I can't get certain people on, but like Mooch will come on anytime. Coughlin comes on anytime. Payton comes on. Holmgren comes on. A lot of guys that I've had, like Doug Peterson, if we want a Doug before he's out of the league right now, Doug Peterson will come on.
Well, the Sean Payton, you drop Yurko's name with, and there have been memorable interviews. We've joined you once because he was running late, so it went over into our show. And then when we met him on Radio Row, he just
gushes.
Opens up. When you start with, hey, we're friends with Yurko, we work with Yurko.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, then open the doors, and he's comfortable.
He's been great to us. Andy Reid, Sean, especially.
So with all of this that we've just talked about, Carm, how in the world could you find it in you to scream at him and get in a fight and have to
walk
out?
He doesn't like me sometimes, and I'm an irritant.
Two times in 20 years
I'm a bird in a saddle. I'm a jag-off sometimes. I mean, that's the truth. And I'm intentionally, I want to sometimes cut. You know, I want to get to the bottom of it.
Are you a tweaker?
Yeah, I'll tweak a guy. I don't care. I want to see how he reacts sometimes, whether he can handle it.
He was testing.
Listen, nobody at this station has gotten his balls busted more than Sylvie by me.
That's true.
There was a two-year period where Yurko, life was miserable.
Yes, I'm going to tell you. He was resilient, and he's a better host now because of it. I swear
he passed the test.
I know. I could sit there and I'd say he's a better host now.
You were mean.
But listen. I probably was, but I was giving it to him. He was giving it back, too.
Yes.
And I guess that's what I was looking for, to see if he's going to give it back and how heavy he was going to come. He was not shy. Yeah. And let's face it, he went to Southern. Heartbeat checkbook. That's all you need to get into Southern.
Same as Kansas.
Especially if you're out of state. They love you because out of state.
Are you kidding me?
If you're in Illinois, you go to Kansas.
I'll take that money.
You can get in. Everybody gets into Kansas.
My wife and I were checking the cost of going to school just randomly, going to the airport, coming back from Nashville, just for shits and giggles. Do you know what it costs for in-state to go to Illinois?
$30,000, I bet.
Not even counting room and board.
Is it 30?
No. I'm saying it's about 30, but when you add room and board, it's in excess of $40,000,
$45,000. For a year. That's a year's worth of that.
Yeah.
You can go to Indiana as an out-of-state guy, and it's less than that.
It's crazy.
Bloomington, Indiana.
No, that can't be.
No.
Really?
Indiana is very expensive as well. Every school is ridiculous.
I would go. They called it the bursar's office, where you would pay your bill. I would go show up with like an $800 check, I was good for the semester.
I know,
like it was incredible. Yeah. Going to Southern was like the least expensive.
Right.
It was in 1989.
Yep.
And then bam, here you go. Oh, the $800.
I saw what my scholarship was worth, and what I actually like, how much time we spent at the stadium. It was ridiculous. I mean, the scholarship for academics, for just tuition, not room and board, there's nothing.
Yeah. Right. All right, here I got different. For you.
Like $1,200.
For non-residents, tuition and fees to go to the University of IU at Bloomington is $37,600. When you add room and board, it's $11,000. For a grand total of out of school, non-resident, $48,806. Compared to an in-state resident, it's about $22,500.
Wow. You need $200,000 to send kids that, like, our my kids' age and Sylvie's kids' age. You need more than that. You probably need $300,000, by the time they go to college to send them to school. It's ridiculous.
There's always a loan. They could always take out a loan.
That's true. We're trying to pay for our kids' school, doing our best. But, you got to save a fucking ton of money.
$15,000 for in-state. This is just tuition. $32,000 for out-of-state. All in, you're basically, I got to go find the number, but the truth is it's a shit ton.
All right. Yeah.
Okay, that's what it is. It's a shit ton.
You guys want to go to La Russa or do you guys want to go to Justin Fields? Because the last time we cut the pod, we were all thinking, hey, they're going to just draft the offensive lineman at 20. I was hoping they'd get Tevin Jenkins at 20. Mm. I don't think we've talked together as a group about the emotion and the at least optimism about Justin Fields.
The first two picks, sorry, real quick.
I was just saying, start picks, positive. Let's start with Fields.
First two picks made the draft for you. Yeah. Those are your two picks. They're both, if they both hit, that's your draft. If you get anything from the final five picks, great.
Yeah.
Anything from the final five. One guy clicks, fine, we get him. Like if somebody in that area became Charles Leno. Charles Leno, for a seventh-round pick, had a good career.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice career for the Chicago Bears.
It's just time to replace him.
He just was too expensive. When a guy gets too expensive, you got to remove him. He became too expensive for how good he played on the field. So if you can get one guy that has a career like Leno out of the final five, you're good. I think the city needed Justin Fields.
Oh, I agree.
All Bears fans,
right?
All Bears fans in the city needed Justin Fields. Hopefully he becomes one hell of a player.
I think the fan base, and we've all talked about this now in the week that's, you know, since it happened. But, I mean, I really feel like this has rejuvenated the fan base unlike anything has in a decade. I mean, Cutler was the last time we were this excited. Yeah. Now, I know it didn't work out the way we all
hoped. But we had that excitement.
But that's it. So we all shared in the excitement of that because it seemed like, okay, finally this is the guy. So we've been there, done that, and maybe they'll fuck up Fields too like they've always done. I don't know. I hope not. I think the kid's got some incredible potential and upside, and this is by far, I think, the most excited we've been as a collective fan base in a decade plus.
What a difference a few days makes.
Yeah,
because the day of the draft, everyone still wanted everyone up at Hallis Hall to pack their shit and get out.
I know.
You know, and it's something that the one thing that stuck with me was when Sylvie was telling me he's got guys on Twitter yelling at him, he needs to apologize to Ryan Pace. And I was like, look, I said, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, two things can be accurate here. That Ryan Pace has failed miserably trying to find a quarterback over the course of his time as the general manager of the Chicago Bears. That is a fact. And it also could be a fact that it'll play out that maybe he played this one exactly right. That he let, I heard Johnny talking about the let the draft come to him, and he may have found the guy that ultimately will serve as the best quarterback in our lifetime in a Bears uniform. But both concepts can be discussed and be true. Like, you can't sit here and same thing with Matt Nagy. Like, I can sit here and tell you, look, I was very critical of Matt and how he handled Mitch. Mitch was ultimately the problem, but how Matt handled Mitch and not, you know, accentuating what he did do well was a mark against Matt. Like, I don't apologize for being critical of how I thought the quarterback was failed by the coach, but maybe because this is Matt's guy, this time around, he won't have some of the same issues. So to me, it's like, it's yes, things can be different, but it doesn't erase what we've experienced over the last several years.
Of course. I mean, that's kookiness.
Right.
Come on.
And think about this, Yerk, what you were saying about the first two picks, that we haven't had both of those positions. We've never had the quarterback. And think about how long it's been. What is it, Jimbo? For the left tackle, like we signed Blake Brockermeyer one year.
Yeah.
He's our right tackle. We were putting him in left tackle. Wasn't Jamarcus Webb a starting left tackle for the Bears?
Yes,
Charles Leno, like if you can solve your left tackle position and quarterback issue for 10 years because of this draft.
Yeah, you'll be
bravo.
You remember when they signed John Tate? Was John Tate when I was there?
Tate was like in the
Lovie years.
Okay.
Yeah,
Lovie
next to Super Bowl Brown. Team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a right tackle in Kansas City, and again, they moved him to left.
Correct.
They
haven't had a dominant guy since Jimbo. Sylvie's right. They haven't.
You know,
not at that
position. Van Horn was very, very good, but by the time I was there, he was so banged up and so injured. But, yeah, I mean, Jimbo was the
That's how long it's
the quintessential left tackle.
Yes. He
a
was
guy
dominant.
That you can just leave alone, and that guy, without any help, can handle the blind side of your quarterback.
Yeah. They haven't had it in forever.
So now what with Tony La Russa? Now what?
This is his bugaboo. Reinsdorf's got to be the guy that puts. He's the guy that hired him. He's got to be the guy that's going to fire him.
But he's not. Jerry's not. I'm wondering if at some point Tony just realizes that he can't do it anymore. Guys, I'm not kidding.
I heard you talk about your father. My father's 76 as well, Carm, and you're right. On Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, my dad's in his lazy boy, and he's half asleep by 4.
That's it.
that's a beautiful life too.
It is and it is a beautiful life. The guy looks
he looks tired.
He can barely speak. He can barely get out what he's trying to say. Are you watching these and listening to these press conferences? Everything is slow.
Yeah.
He is too old. Mm-hmm. Plain and simple.
Doesn't
it's
mean
ridiculous.
That he, I mean, and he's got a Hall of Fame career
of course,
on his resume.
And again, but, this is like the nagging. Both things can exist.
Yes.
Tony was a great manager.
Gentlemen.
He was. He is 76 years old. He is not cut out to do the job.
Everybody,
and at some point, he might have to just realize that and say, Jerry, this was a mistake, and I can't do it.
Everybody is susceptible to age and what you know what happens when you get older. Whether you like it or not, that happens. You don't see a doctor cutting anybody open at 74. You know why? Hands aren't steady anymore. You know, he's got arthritis.
Sure.
He's got twitches. You're not letting them. Dentists don't operate. And orthodontists don't work when they're 74. Why? Yeah,
Johnny, you're not rushing quarterbacks at 36 years old.
Exactly.
That's what I said to Yurko yesterday.
Right.
You know, I'm like, Yurko, you can't play. Tommy, you guys can't play in the league anymore.
I wasn't even 29 when I retired.
I beat the hell at 32, Carm.
Exactly.
I wasn't recovering until Thursday for him.
That's why this isn't an ageist thing, because when I said to Waddle yesterday, when you look at Albert Pujols now, you look at him and you go, he's too old, he's washed up. Remember Ken Griffey Jr. at the end of his career when it all went? Junior's done.
How about Cabrera?
Yeah, you're washed up. You're washed up. It's time to leave. The same can be true for a manager.
Yes.
And why are
it's not ageist. It's not being an age discriminant.
Being a realist.
Yeah, when you say a 36-year-old defensive tackle can't rush quarterback anymore.
Right.
Like, that's not seen as an offensive
it's
comment.
A 23-year-old John Yurkovich couldn't rush the pass.
That's a different
the run.
But you're right. You're right. I mean, and Sylvie, like, Rick Hahn's not going to make this call.
No.
It wasn't his call to hire him.
Right. And I don't think Jerry's too stubborn to
fire
him.
So is Jerry getting on a plane to Kansas City and how they met in the deli in Arizona? Brainstorm this.
Bring in some soup.
Do they eat some soup?
Tony, let's have a corn.
And let me get some crumbs.
You got a problem. Tony, can I buy you a black and white cookie?
I got some
bad news.
Face to face. Can you do this? Like, or is he just so damn loyal and stubborn, like you said, he's fine with this, he's not even batting an eye?
Sylvie, it's not that he's fine with it, but you know it as well as I do. He is too loyal and too stubborn to admit he made a mistake.
Well,
he will not do it.
The mistake of allowing, Hawk to fire him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hawk was the GM.
35 years
ago. Is he going to admit a mistake now?
I will never understand the goofiness of this, that he felt like, before he left this earth, he had to right some sort of wrong. Tony La Russa went on to be the most successful manager of his era.
Yeah.
And one of the most successful of all time.
Hall of Famer.
What are you trying to make
You're
good?
Double dipping on mistakes
it's,
now.
It's
this
ridiculous.
Is a double dip mistake. It was a mistake to fire him, and now it's a mistake to let him manage
Absolutely.
A team that is ready to win, who should have a manager who is ready to grow with the team.
Absolutely. I mean, look at how good they've actually been. And, you know, and I know that they're in first place, and that's great. They've got the second best differential in the league. It's the best in the American League. By their Pythagorean wins, they should be a 19-win team and not 16 wins.
I heard him say that. That's three wins.
That's the three wins that he's probably cost them. They went to Cincinnati against, as Tommy would know, Cincinnati as one of the best offenses in baseball and gave up a run in 19 innings.
Yeah.
They gave up a run in 19 innings. And you split and you made mistakes yesterday. Like, they are good enough. The talent, even with these devastating injuries, the talent is all there for the White Sox.
Staff
Rick Hahn has
incredible.
Assembled a team that is good enough to win right now. And the manager is not up to
That's what I said yesterday. Like, I feel like I'm a comforter. You know, I wanted to go to wherever Rick Hahn was yesterday and hold him. Because he has to be absolutely beside himself. A, two of his guys are hurt. And he said to us earlier in the year when we had him on, you know, so I think Sylvie asked him the question, what keeps you up at night? He said the thought of injuries. So that's keeping him up at night. But you know this wasn't his decision, and you had to think that in the back of his mind, he thought that this was the likely scenario that was going to unfold. And now, like, I want to hold the guy.
And that's how you keep jobs for years and years and years. I used to talk to people close to Gar and Pax, and I would rip them for a Luol Deng. What'd you get back for Luol Deng? What'd you do this with Jordan Bell? And I'd get a phone call after it would be on the air and say, Do you really think that John Paxson wanted to give up the pick?
Of course.
Do you think that John Paxson didn't want to trade? But he took the march. They're good soldiers. He took the marching orders from Jerry, and that's how they stayed for 20 years.
He fell on the sword, right?
Yeah. And then right. It never comes up that it's a Jerry thing. We're all yelling at Gar and Pax, right. And they're taking the bullets. I'm not excusing Gar and Pax, but I'm saying that's how it works in with the two teams.
I would say to this that as well. Look. There's only 30 of these in Major League Baseball. There's 32 of these in football. What are there? 30 in the NBA in terms of general manager spots.
Yeah.
Like these are very esteemed positions that pay a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
Like I always get a kick out of people saying, well, if you can't do it your way, you should just retire or you should resign. No, you shouldn't. Like this is your job and you knew this when you were getting into it. So don't act surprised that this may be part of it. But I don't fault anyone for having to, in some ways, toe the company line. Like, Rick Hahn has done a fantastic job, but Rick Hahn obviously doesn't have final say with regard to the manager. Should Rick Hahn, resign from the White Sox? No, he's done a brilliant job. He wants to see this through.
Right, yeah, and they're few and far between, like you said.
And another point about the age. My mom was talking to me on Sunday. She came over to the house, and she said, my driver's license is expiring. I've got to renew it, and I just missed the limit where... she's turning 74. 75, you got to retake the driver's test because they're scared shitless about you causing havoc on the road.
Yeah.
Can you process the information enough in a fair amount of time to still get behind the wheel of this big car? And she's like, I'm 74, so I didn't have to take the driver's
test. Was she driving a Winnebago?
Yeah, exactly. How did you know?
but I thought it was interesting that the state knows at 75, we got to make sure you're good here. We don't want you causing problems. He's 76.
She's the tour bus driver for Whitesnake now. You didn't know that?
Yeah, you didn't know that? Yeah. It's a young man's game, guys. It is. He's the second oldest manager in the history of a sport that's been played for 130 years.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
They don't manage at this age for a reason, plain and simple.
All right, boys.
Crazy.
Right, good stuff. So,
anything else out of you, Nimrods?
Well, I mean, we're gonna go after. Well, I don't know.
How was your golf game, by the way, yesterday? Were you guys drunk?
I had a coach baseball. Well, I didn't even finish the round. I left at 16 because I had a coach baseball.
I shot 95.
I was probably gonna come in right around there, maybe a few strokes worse. But it was my first round, so my short game was terrible.
It wasn't a good golf weather day, was it?
It was okay. It was windy, a little chilly.
I lost about 4 or 5 balls in the front side
because you're Johnny Hero golfer.
My short game was terrible, but. I haven't played since October.
It's early.
So, it's early. But I hit the ball okay.
And how about the golf outing? Sold out quickly. So
3 minutes.
Can't wait to. I may even try and swim. I'm trying.
You should.
I'm thinking about picking it up again.
Yes.
I'm thinking about it. Haven't committed yet.
It's frustrating, but it's still.
What else are you going to do with your free time?
I know. Exactly. And I need more free time now more than ever.
Now, listen, this is built-in free time for you. If you say to the wife, look, I'm going to go play golf with the guys, that's a 6-hour pass.
And then if you get the emergency 9 in.
Now you're talking about maybe 10
have an emergency 9, guys. There's always a call for an emergency 9. Play 18, you're in the clubhouse, guys are talking smack.
Emergency 9.
And then you have to have a drink to recap everything after the emergency 9. I mean, I'm talking about a 12-hour day.
I don't know how many guys have told their wives they're going to play 18 and they leave at like 7 in the morning and they get home at 7 at night.
Right, yeah.
Well, I thought it was
what happened?
Of course it was busy.
It was slow, honey.
It played really slow. All right, so every week we're going to be in here cutting an uncensored Crosstalk podcast. You guys wanted it. You're getting it. Tell your friends. Tell them to download the ESPN Chicago app on the Carmen and Yurko page and on the Waddle and Sylvie page. These will be here at least once a week, and we're going to have all sorts of fun. My wife is requesting that, a listener maybe comes up with a Crosstalk jingle, kind of like the Howdy Party song.
Oh, a jingle.
Or have, some listeners contribute Working Blue, too.
Yeah.
They've been so good, so.
And I think, Carm, you should be responsible for the sign-off.
Should I write a parody song?
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, we will do that. Why don't you go fuck yourself?
I'll go blow it out your asses.
All right, either one,
whatever you want.
Hey, by the way, guys. You go fuck yourself.
Shut the fuck up, Tommy.
All right, here, we'll do it one more time. This will be the new lockout, ready? Why don't you go fuck yourself, Tommy? Goodbye.